Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, joined on this lovely May 2nd by Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. Did you have a good May Day?
I did.
I heard a bit of your talk with the folks from Sandpoint Teen Center yesterday here, here on the morning show.
We had a busy morning show yesterday. I had a very nice May Day personally, and it happens to be my father's birthday too. So we ended up on the phone for a little while. It was all very pleasant.
Yeah, I thought
beautiful weather we're having. And we're also joined by Eric Welch, who is a reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee, to discuss the issues of the day. Good morning, Eric.
Morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, it's a nice day.
Beautiful day. It's actually greening up out there, too. So it's starting to feel, you know, like full on spring.
No kidding. Actually, one of my headlines is that this is the first weekend of the Sandpoint Farmers Market. Another telltale sign of spring. Let's do those headlines right now. First, the Army Corps of Engineers held an event last night. Eric Welch was there, and we'll get the rundown on how that went in more detail. But they were updating the community on the status of the ongoing repair efforts at Albany Falls Dam. The lake level is on the rise right now. It's currently up to about 2,055.4 feet above sea level. That's the level of the surface of the lake as measured at Hope. And the full pool is 2,062.5. So by my math, we're just about 7 feet shy of full pool, but well on the way towards that summer depth. They announced also this week, the Army Corps of Engineers, that Springy Point Campground will be closed this summer due to limited staff. So apparently completely closed for the entire summer, and they've had to cancel about 700 existing reservations from campers who had intended to stay there. The Panhandle Health District will hold a meeting on clinical services on May the 10th. It's been an active few months now for the Panhandle Health District. This meeting will focus specifically on clinical services, which they expect to see an increase in demand for clinical services as changes to the state's Medicaid program go into effect. That meeting is on May 10th at the Panhandle Health District. Speaking of public meetings, the District 1 lawmakers will attend the Idaho Fireplace Forum. At least two of our lawmakers, State Senator Jim Woodward and State Representative Mark Sauter, will be there, and Cornell Razor has been invited at least. That's at Sandpoint Community Hall tomorrow, Saturday night, from 6 to 8 p.m. If you can't attend in person, you can tune in right here. However you're listening to the radio right now, you can listen. Tomorrow night, we will be broadcasting that event from 6 to 8 p.m., or at least we'll start at 6, and we'll stay on the air for as long as it goes.
Jack, I'm going to throw out a big thanks for that, because you're the chief engineer that makes that happen.
Yes.
So folks can, if they can't get there in person, they can tune in, or they can stream it on our website, krfy.org.
That's right. Let's see. It is in further political news. Early voting begins Monday for the upcoming May 20th elections. They are elections, but they're nonpartisan. What's going to be on the ballot? We can break down the specifics, but it's levies in the West Bonner County School District, probably catching the most attention right now. But there's other levies in the fire districts, the West Bonner County Cemetery District. One item not going to be on the ballot is the East Bonner County Library. The library board would have had candidates on the ballot had there been any competitive races. But only two candidates filed for library board, and there were only two vacancies, so they will be declared elected. Those candidates are Susan Drinkard and Vicki Reich. Yes. Those two candidates will be on the library board for the next term. Mayor Jeremy Grimm responded in public, in writing, has had a lengthy editorial in the Reader, at least, and I'm not sure if it, I didn't see it in the local news section of the Bonner County Daily Bee, but I'm guessing it may have appeared in the letters to the editor or something there too, talking about the recent public discussion around downtown parking and construction. And when we say public discussion, I suppose that probably includes discussions that have occurred right here on these airwaves. So the mayor weighed in person on the topic of the day, which is the parking needs or the requirements in downtown. And you can read that, at least in the Reader, if you want to hear what he has to say about that. We might go into that as well if we have time. Local snowpack is about average, which is high for recent years, if that makes sense. It is about average, according to let's see here. The average is, let me rephrase that. For the first time in several years, the local snowpack is at what is considered to be average. Hopefully that means a more secure summer from a forest fire perspective here in North Idaho than we have had recently. Let's see. There was a May Day protest, a National Day of Action at the federal building yesterday, and that protest drew about 300 people, which is a good turnout for a Thursday night, I would think, for a protest. That's not quite the numbers that they saw on that Saturday National Day of Action a few weeks ago, but a different time, different place. So that was last night. And I already mentioned that the farmer's market opens this weekend. Pastor Andy Canale is retiring at First Presbyterian Church after, I was surprised to read, unless this is a typo, it says he's been there for 30 years, I think, which he looks like too young a man to have been preaching for 30 years, but that's that. And rest in peace to Helen Newton. Our condolences to her family and loved ones at this time. The longtime clerk Helen Newton and
city clerk.
Yeah, city
and,
clerk.
She served on after she ended her tenure as city clerk. She served on the city council for one or two terms, I think. And
very active.
Yeah. And she was really pretty amazing in terms of being a repository of facts and history about this town. And my work at the Sandpoint Magazine, and for that, the Daily Bee, actually, she was always a go-to source for us. So yeah. She's going to leave a hole in our town, really,
yeah.
Her passing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the news of the day. Starting, I'd like to start with that meeting that was last night, because I haven't even read. I was not able to attend, and I didn't read, haven't read anything about it yet. So you're breaking the story here, Eric. How was the meeting? Was it well attended? Did people come out to see this? It's been the actions of the Army Corps are pretty closely watched these days.
Yeah, there were quite a few people there. Mm-hmm. I think people probably from all over the region, not just Sandpointers, but people all around the lake who are really watching this Albany Falls development pretty closely. I would say there were at least a few dozen people there at the event center, and I'm sure even more people were watching the live stream as it was going on.
Was it the format? Was there a lot of, did they take public comment and answer questions, or was it more of just an address or a presentation?
Yeah, it started with presentations by a number of people involved at the dam, and then they kind of took questions all at the end, and this panel of experts, really, of the people who are kind of in charge of the decisions, or at least are operating the dam and kind of influencing that, were able to answer questions then raised by people who were in attendance.
And those, I guess the big question is, are they on schedule, or what is the schedule for repairs to Albany Falls Dam?
Which... It's about the same as it's been for a while now, which they've said is to receive the first new gate. I should say they're planning to replace all 10 of the main gates, or 11 if you count the spare, replace all of these spillway gates starting in 2027, mm-hmm. receiving the first new gate, and then every 6 months after that, receiving an additional new one. So I think that kind of, you know, completes the set of new gates by 2031 or 2032, mm-hmm. Which of course sounds like a long time away when you think about that.
Yeah. I guess to give the very barest of background, in case people haven't been following the story, the Albany Falls Dam, of course, it controls the level of Lake Ponderay, for one thing. It's at the on the Ponderay River, and it also generates power. And I think it was in 2024 that, or actually, I think maybe late 2023, they discovered some damage to one of the 10 gates that is in use to control the water flow. And the Army Corps of Engineers, who manages the site, began their repair efforts. And so they, because all the gates are of the same vintage, they have to repair. Their plan is to replace every single one of them. And these are massive, I think they're steel, right? Steel gates that go up and down to control the level of the lake. So that's where we are. And of course, those repairs, you know, have to go well, or there could be disastrous. And also it could just be, could have great impact on kind of the health of Lake Ponderay and the way that operates. Anything surprising, anything different about the schedule this time around from what we kind of already knew about the schedule that they presented?
Not necessarily. They've said that, you know, they've gone kind of to the contractors or to industry experts and said, you know, what do you think about this timeline that we're trying to achieve? And basically they were saying that they had been told that it was an aggressive timeline, but a doable one. Mm-hmm. And so they're still maintaining that. I think a couple of things also from this most recent meeting that maybe I learned or kind of increased my understanding of the whole situation was when they talked about that, you know, spillway gate defect that they discovered. It was when they took out the gate and they actually stripped off all the paint, and that was when they discovered, you know, this defect as they describe it. And these are 70-year-old mm-hmm. Spillway gates. They're original to the dam, 1955. And so... You know, I guess I had always kind of had the assumption or the incorrect understanding that, you know, this was a product of the age of the gates, but they, you know, really emphasized that this is actually this truly is a manufacturing defect that has, you know, has essentially been in these gates since they were installed, and it just was not known about because they, I suppose, hadn't taken it out and really stripped off the paint and thoroughly examined it that way. And so that's why I think, you know, they've been... I guess intending to do a full replacement of all these gates because they're, you know, assuming or know that this defect is most likely common or is common to all of the gates at the site.
Oh, that's interesting. There's been I think every politician in our area, every elected, you know, official has spoken about their kind of disappointment with the with their timeline and think that it should be faster, or at least has urged the Army Corps to and spoken publicly about how you know that timeline should be accelerated. Do you feel like does the Corps of Engineers kind of feel that pressure? I'm remembering in particular a very strongly worded letter from the governor, you know, mentioning like it took, 5 years to build the dam in the first place? Why is it taking 7 to, you know, to repair it? And I think everybody's kind of spoken about the, you know, everybody feels that this should go as fast as possible and knows that, you know, the public is going to be impacted by these repairs over the next, almost decade. I don't know. Do you feel like the Army Corps is responding to that, or are they continuing in their way and just trying to bring the public in into the loop a little more?
Yeah, I think that they, you know, by having these fairly frequent information sessions, I think, mm-hmm. you know, at least every couple of months since this, you know, incident kind of came into, just came to their attention, they've, you know, hosted these sessions and I think, you know, tried to get the information out there because, yeah, like you're saying, there has been a lot of, you know, I don't know if you'd call it mm-hmm. pressure or a lot of people basically expressing that this is something that is, you know, very, very serious and that they're very interested in seeing taken care of. Mm-hmm. And you know, from what they described, it's the spillway gate operation. You know, they're going to be under this, what they call restricted operation until every single one of those gates is replaced. And that means that they can only, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, raise or lower one gate at a time, which gives them a little bit less flexibility when it comes to, you know, accommodating for inflows and mm-hmm. precisely, I guess, adjusting the lake level. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, there's been letters by the governor, there's been letters by Congress people, there's been, you know, a number of our local representatives have been there. Senator Jim Woodward was there last night and, you know, speaking with the Corps and kind of, you know, raising some questions and things like that. So, yeah, until this, you know, kind of is resolved, it's going to be something that people are going to be continuously pushing mm-hmm. to get this addressed.
Do you recall what Woodward specifically, anything he asked or anything he said while he was there?
Yeah, his comment, at least, you know, during the meeting was more in regard to the Springy Point campground closure and some other limitations that the Corps basically announced that they're planning for this summer because they're having difficulties meeting the staffing needs of some of these campgrounds or recreation areas that they operate all around the lake, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so his comments, I think, specifically were kind of in regard to, you know, what can we do to ensure that we have, you know, as much of this available to residents and to visitors as possible, because, you know, we all know, of course, that, summer visitors and, you know, residents, having access to these campgrounds and recreation sites is a big deal mm-hmm. for our communities.
I mean, I think it's just based on my own local knowledge. I think that Springy Point is probably the closest public campground to, you know, to kind of the Sandpoint downtown core. Nothing else comes to mind as far as what's on, you know, a place on public land that people can go and camp, and if they're visiting the area, that's a pretty big deal. What did they their response to that was just the Army Corps of Engineers just doesn't have the staff, and so the campground is just going to be entirely closed all summer long.
Yeah, I believe so. Taylor Johnson, who's the natural resources chief for the dam there and for the Army Corps in our area, kind of mm-hmm. talked a little bit about the specific challenges that the Corps is facing. He more or less said that, you know, they're close to half of the typical staff that they have, you know, and that's going to influence all of the local recreation areas beyond just Springy Point. He said, you know, expect to see restrooms cleaned less frequently. You know, maintenance very well might kind of be put on the back burner in some cases because there simply isn't the staff to maintain that. And yeah, he essentially said that you know, money more or less isn't the problem, but it's more simply the fact that they can't find the people to do the work, or that they're not able to hire the people to do the work as part of an ongoing Department of Defense hiring freeze that is kind of, you know, it has been, I guess, nationwide, mm-hmm. Has been going on for a while now.
So this is the national politics of the day impacting here is what that is. There's nothing really It's not a matter of they don't have the applicants or something like that.
So, Eric, is it going to be available for day use? Can people park on the road and go down and swim at the beach there? Or are the parking lot open? Do you know how much?
I believe that the parking lot will be closed. I have to review my notes, you know, for all the specifics of you know, what was said for the specific closures and stuff. But, yeah, it's at least, at the very least, that campground is, you know, no overnight use for the whole summer. And there were, of course, a number of people at the meeting who kind of expressed dissatisfaction with that.
I imagine. Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, the campground will be closed. It says, yeah, just staffing shortages, closure in place until further notice. And I'm looking for anything that about day use, and I don't see that either. So
yeah, I didn't see that in any of the reporting so far. So that's not really clear on that. I mean, I would imagine if they don't have the parking lot open, there'll be a certain number of people that try to park up on Lakeshore Drive and create a traffic hazards there.
Yeah. Well, probably so. Okay. Well, a busy meeting yesterday. Let's see. Let's talk, I guess, about what should we move on to next? There's a number of other big headlines. There were the local snowpack. You had that reporting, and I kind of stumbled over that announcement in the in our rundown of the headlines there. What can you tell us about that, if there is anything to say about it? What is the what felt like a big winter for snow turns out to just be the average, I guess. I was actually surprised to see that it was just average, because it seemed like it was snowing and raining at our altitude, raining a lot, and it was snowing a lot up at higher elevations.
Felt
like a long winter, but
that's because we've kind of become accustomed to less than normal precipitation in our winters here. So it's indicative of the fact that the climate really is getting a bit drier. I think
it does.
We think that this was an exceptional year, and yet it wasn't.
Yeah, this was the normal for years.
Go ahead, Eric. Yeah, This is something that I've been kind of following throughout the whole winter. I tend to geek out a little bit about this stuff, snowpack, and you know, all the factors kind of surrounding that. And so we have kind of topped out, so to speak, in terms of the amount of water that's stored up in our mountains. They call that the snow water equivalent. That typically happens sometime in April, you know, late March, early April time. And so that curve of, you know, snow is accumulating in the mountains and it's going up, and then eventually it plateaus and it starts to come down as that snow then melts and starts to feed our streams and lakes and rivers. And so, yeah, we have peaked out at that. I should say, I think Schweitzer Basin is the most or the closest kind of sensor site that they operate. The USDA operates where they, you know, really measure the snow water equivalent or the snowpack. And that was, I want to say, 110 or 113% of normal, so slightly above average in our immediate vicinity in the southern Selkirks, and then kind of surrounding areas in the Cabinets and south of Clark Fork in the Coeur d'Alene National Forest. They were maybe a little bit closer to 90% or 100%. So kind of when you add it all up, about, you know, the mountains surrounding Sandpoint, it's pretty close to 100% of the 30-year median. So last 30 years, what you'd see as average.
This will affect our summer fire season, which has, to some extent, already started. I think you reported on a couple of fires that happened last weekend already.
Yeah, there's just been a couple of small fires. I think one of them was a slash pile or a brush burn that had maybe gotten out of control and kind of spread out into the grass or the brush. So guess just a reminder to practice responsible, you know, behavior when you're burning your brush or your slash piles. And then just a couple of other little fires that our local departments, I guess, you know, were responding to. in the area. And so, yeah, it is starting to happen, certainly. And kind of in that story that I wrote, I spoke with a USDA hydrologist based out of Coeur d'Alene, and he was saying that, you know, well, we have an average, you know, or a you know, reasonably substantial snowpack up in the mountains, that doesn't necessarily guarantee us a safe fire season. A lot of times you can see, you know, a nice snowpack in the mountains. If there's some hot spring weather, it can all melt off. It can run, you know, right through our rivers, right out into the, you know, Columbia River. And then that can leave us a little bit high and dry later in the summer. And so, yeah, a lot of times short-term weather, in fact, you know, can maybe play a more substantial role even than our snowpack that we have. So we're not out of the woods yet, I guess I would say.
Okay. So this kind of cloudy, rainy Sunday that is in the forecast, that's maybe a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yeah. And in fact, hopefully we get nice chunks of rain here all through May and into June.
Mm-hmm. In our last few minutes, I know, Chris, you spoke to County Clerk Mike Rosedale, who manages the elections here in our area.
He's our chief elections officer.
Yeah. Is there any it's kind of a busy May election season, although not with no partisan candidates on the ballot. In fact, I'm not aware of any candidates on the ballot at all. It's all
there aren't in any of the districts here in Bonner County. But there are eight different voting districts, mostly fire districts, that have levies on the ballot. So the people that live within the boundaries of those districts get a vote on those. And we also talked this week with on the Wednesday show. We aired an interview with Jeff Armstrong. He's the fire chief for three of those districts, actually, Sagal Fire District, West Side, and North Side Fire Districts. And if you want to get up on what he had to say about these levies, you could go to our website, krfy.org, and scroll down a little bit, look for the Wednesday date, and you'll see a link to that interview with him. And those are important levy elections. They're all, you know, I think some voters are going to think they're relatively high, but Jeff made the point that none of these three districts have had any increase in any appreciable increase in revenue for many years, while at the same time we have a burgeoning population, so there's more people to take care of, and we have more fire danger now than we've had in the past because of, especially for these rural districts where wildfires are a possibility. And all three of those districts, there some of that money that the levy raises would go to equipment, but mostly it's for staffing. They need more permanent professional staff. And he said they do have volunteer fire programs, but volunteer fire districts have a much slower response time if a fire occurs. So something for folks that they live in those districts to consider as they decide if they're going to vote for or against the levies. The levies do require a 2/3 majority to win. And of course, West Bonner County school district has got an important levy election happening as well.
Yeah. Let's see. That's, I think, the biggest price tag, the biggest dollar amount is that West Bonner County school district. A supplemental maintenance and operations levy, $2,353,440.60 per year for 2 years, beginning July 1st. That would be beginning July 1st of this year and ending on June 30th of 2027, if that levy should pass. This would be some $800,000 for support staff jobs, and then school operating expenses making up the next biggest chunk of that money, including utilities, maintenance, custodial grounds, and transportation. Any of those levies on the ballot, particularly, I don't know, catching your eye, Eric? What is the Daily Bee newsroom going to be watching on? Watching for on May 20th.
Yeah, I think like you said, that West Bonner you know, school district levy is interesting for sure. It's been a number of, I guess, cycles where they've been kind of proposing this, but voters have rejected it each time. And I think also I'll mention that the Lakeland school district, which there's only a very small section of Bonner County voters who are actually, you know, I guess going to have this on their ballot because, you know, it's mostly Kootenai County that is voting on this. But I believe that levy amount is actually substantially higher than the West Bonner amount is. It's also a 2-year levy, but I want to say, and this, I don't have this information right in front of me, but I want to say it's around $7 million a year for that levy. But yeah, I think
in Bonner County, that's a pretty small number of folks that'll get a vote on that. Cause it's just I think the southwestern border of the boundary, of the county boundary, it falls within that district. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, still impactful. Okay, we are over. We're over our time. So for once in a great while, we will not be talking about parking on the program today. I don't think.
Not at the moment, although it remains very active. They're proceeding apace to reconstruct the city parking lot that's between church and Main Street there. So. And they intend to have that done in time for Lost in the 50s, which is 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm. I believe, if you stay tuned to this radio station, I believe we're going to be talking in a little bit to somebody from the Panetta Theater. They had it was a busy May 1st, wasn't it? A lot going on yesterday, including a sold-out or all-but-sold-out concert last night at the Panetta Theater with...
Jim Messina.
There you go.
Yeah. And then they had a POAC Collision of Rhythm was on Wednesday. And then tonight they have a Matt Mitchell Music Company and the Holy Broke are going to be playing in the Little Theater. So the Panda is. And then there's a film, The Loneliest Race. It's a sailing film. It's free in the main theater on Saturday. So Panda is.
Panda's busy. And there, but I believe Olivia from the Panda is going to stop by. And Rob, I see him now out there waiting in the wings, is going to stop by and tell us about, in particular, what happened last night. That's my first question. How was Jim Messina? And second question is about the Panetta Moms Gala.
The gala that's coming up next Friday, a week from today. And it's a big fundraiser. If you love the Panetta, hopefully you'll consider coming to that. And it's going to... It's not just a fundraiser, it's a fun night. It's they got all kinds of entertainment lined up.
Are you going to that, Chris?
Yeah, I already got my ticket.
Uh-huh. I think it's, well, yeah, I'll leave it there for now. But Eric, thank you very much for coming in. What's going in the paper next? What's coming up for the Bonner County Daily Bee?
I would keep an eye out for some West Bonner County news with the schools and, you know, of course, some kind of more detailed reporting where I can give you some more concrete information about that Albany Falls update coming soon as well.
And surely something about parking.
Well, we're giving people a break from parking for now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Eric, for coming in. You can read his writing in the Bonner County Daily Bee on newsstands 6 days a week here in Sandpoint and the surrounding areas. And I'll play a little music, and then we'll be back in just a minute with Olivia and Rob, I believe, from the Panetta Theater. Stay tuned. Here's somewhat local fellow Josh Ritter with a song from 2003.
Yeah, he grew up in Moscow.
Yeah, yeah. He's a North Idaho guy. He has been... I'm not sure if he's ever played at the Panetta. I know he played the festival.
He hasn't played the Panetta. He's been at the festival, but he's great, by the way.
I agree. Yeah. I would like to see him at the Panetta one day. Here he is, Josh Ritter, and we'll be back in just a minute here on Panhandle Community Radio. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week.